Welcome to Conscious TV. You're listening to Tom and Ramon, and we have an amazing, great show. Beforehand, just wanted to let you know a couple of things about the website. Make sure you check us out at www.conscious-tv.com. Make sure you check out our new paradigm page. If you really want to change this world into a new paradigm, which is changing whether you're trying or not trying, so make sure you check out. We have a site there for water bottles that don't have any fluoride, any crap in it. We also have a section for heirloom seeds. Make sure you really do your homework with that, because sometimes they mix in the GMO with the good stuff. So, and also, we are on Top Paranormal. So make sure you click on and vote for us. We would highly appreciate it. And I also want to welcome a few new countries, which my parents' home country of Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Lithuania, the Russian Federation, Vietnam, and Hong Kong. Thank you very much, and thank you to all the other listeners in the 46 countries.
Yay! We're getting up there.
Yeah, it's quite impressive. 46 countries. We started with what, Tom? 3, 4?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. And also, last thing, if you can, please donate. It would be highly appreciated. We don't charge for the archives, so for those of you who can, you help pay for the show for those who can't. So this information that's very important gets out there to everyone. Tom?
Okay, one more thing. We had scheduled originally for March 23rd, or excuse me, March 16th, Marilyn Hughes. She's an out-of-body travel person, and she had to cancel due to some health issues, so I want to put something out there for her. Let's put out our thoughts and prayers for her and hope for a speedy recovery, and maybe we'll be able to get her on later this year when things turn the right direction for her. So, Marilyn, I hope everything's working out for you. Great. Tonight we have Jack Alice. He's an author and spiritual teacher. His most recent works are a book and feature-length DVD, both with the title of Prophecy, Challenge, and Blessing, Visions of 2012 and the Shift. He also has a new DVD entitled 2012, The Shift and the Power of Ceremony. The message Jack is guided to transmit echoes the ancient indigenous prophecies, including Maya and the Hopi. We are living in an age of monumental transformation, and one in which the world is coming to its inevitable end, so that a new and sustainable world may be born. The world is not going to end, but it will be transformed. And there's only one way to do this, and that's with the higher power of our higher consciousness and spirituality. Jack not only talks the talk, but he walks the walk of his message by being its personal embodiment. He lives minimally and close to nature in a tiny cottage on Little Okeechee Lake in Wisconsin. In his talks and workshops, he demonstrates how to practice and develop our spirituality through the use of ceremony, which includes prayer, fire ceremonies, music, and chanting. With singing, that's nice. Great timing. Oh, let's see, where was I? With singing bowls and rattles, smoking the sacred pipe, and more. He's also written a couple other books, Infinity's Flower, A Tale of 2012 and the Great Shift of the Ages, and Infinity's Children, in addition to his popular monthly newsletter. Welcome, Jack. How are we doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on the show. Hello to everybody out there in Internet Radio Land. And it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
Can I start by making a quick comment here?
Sure.
I really like the sound of your new paradigm page. I like the sound of that, and I like the sound of what you're doing in terms of getting information out about water and non-contaminated seeds and that sort of thing, because that's a very important part of what's going on here. And one of the things that people hear me say all the time is I consider myself to be a new paradigm person. I'm endeavoring to live as much of a new paradigm lifestyle as I possibly can and letting go of as much of the old paradigm stuff as I possibly can. It's not possible to let go of all of it, but but we can do a pretty good job of letting go of most of it. And whatever we don't let go of, we can always let go in our hearts, and we can let go in our spirits. So people often hear me say also that I like to recommend that people endeavor to look at the world through new paradigm eyes as opposed to their old paradigm eyes, because you know, that's the only way that what's all the craziness in our world today and all the transformation that we're in the midst of, the only way it's going to make sense is if we look at it through the eyes, through our new paradigm eyes, or through the eyes of our spirituality. So I like that, the sound of that new paradigm page and what you guys are doing there. I think we're going to be on the same, I think we're going to be on the same page here, if you get my drift.
Absolutely.
You want to hear something funny about that, Jack, is that that's actually, you were one of the catalysts for that.
Oh.
Yeah, you and a couple other people who I, you know, because as soon as we booked you on, I started listening to a lot of your shows, and I started hearing the new paradigm stuff, and I was like, well, we need something. So, because we're always talking about it as well, so we created a page. One of the things that I found
amazing... we can talk a little bit more about that later, in just in terms of why having a water supply, and why you know, having heirloom seeds, and why having you know, backup food supply, why those things are important. Maybe we can touch upon that as we dive into the subject here tonight.
Right.
Yeah, definitely can.
Okay.
Yeah. What I was going to start with was, what's the importance of, let's actually start with the water. Why is water so important, especially the type of water that you get, for example?
Well, I think, and you may have read in the book, I actually get it's so important for us to be close to sources of pure, non-contaminated water. I can think of a few things in life that are more important than that, under any circumstances. And I am very blessed. There's a little company about 30 miles or so from where I live. It's called Century Springs, and they actually are a water bottling company, and they're bottling water that comes up from an underground spring. So, and I have the water delivered to my house once a month in you know, 5-gallon bottles. So that's my source of water. And I feel so good about it. I feel so good, and I feel so trusting. You know, that this water is the real thing. I can not only tell that it's the real thing by when I boil it. You know, nothing happens in terms of all sorts of little goodies don't all of a sudden, you know,
right,
come out of the water and start floating around in there. But I can also tell by the taste, and I can also tell by the feel of it, because water is important for a lot of different reasons. Of course, it's important nutritionally for us to have a clean supply of water. You know, our body needs that from a nutritional point of view. But the other thing I always like to say about water is good, clean, pure water also has something that we refer to as, it retains a natural energy charge, if you will, that's often referred to as vitality. In other words, it still has life to it. And we can refer to this life gets a little bit abstract in terms of what it really is, but it's like a spirit essence or a vitality or a life force. And that's the sort of life force that exists in, not only does it exist in natural forms of water, but it also exists in natural forms of food. So in other words, we're eating food that's, you know, that's really alive and that really has some, you know, not only nutritional value, but also vitality or spiritual value to it. So, you know, in many ways then, you know, our natural food and our natural water have these wonderful qualities that are so needed for us if we're going to be living, you know, in an optimal new paradigm kind of world. And if you want to even talk about it a little bit more later on, you know, when we talk about having a source of water, what I have here in my home is, and again, this is something that I think is a good idea for people to do, even if this stuff about the shift that we're talking about, you know, 2012 and the shift and all the, you know, paradigm shifts and earth changes that are prophesized to be occurring at this time and which we can already see occurring at this time. Even if this thing called the shift is just a bunch of malarkey, you know, it's just a bunch of nonsense and there's no validity to it whatsoever, which, of course, I don't believe that's true for a second, but even if that was the case, it is always a good idea for us as human beings to have a backup supply of water as well as a backup supply of food. I don't think it's a good idea for anybody to be drinking tap water these days unless you live in a, you know, a very fortunate place up in the mountains or in a place like Mount Shasta where they, you know, the public water is actually pumped from natural springs. there's a few places like that remaining in the world. But in general, you know, our tap water is not to be trusted for a lot of different reasons in terms of toxic chemicals and all sorts of stuff that gets in there. So it's important for us to have a backup supply of water, and it's also important for us to have a backup supply of food. And what by backup supply of food, what I'm referring to here is food with good shelf life, you know, that can hold out for a while and that doesn't necessarily need to be refrigerated or anything like that. What I do for backup food is I just go to the health food store and I buy bulk beans and grains and nuts and things like that. You know, they last forever if you just stick them in a glass jar. You know, most of those things will last a couple of years, you know, before anything, you know, really bad begins, before they start to decompose. And then it's also possible for us to get a wide variety of canned fruits and vegetables these days, too, that are still of a pretty good quality in terms of, it looks like it's a pretty natural product, and there are virtually no preservatives in there other than salt and water. So, and the reason for that is, you know, we live in an age where, you know, we are all very, very dependent upon this, you know, technological infrastructure that we have, and part of the technological infrastructure is not only our food supply, but also is, you know, the ways of preserving our food supply, you know, in refrigerators and those sorts of things. And our technological infrastructure is very, very vulnerable. I mean, this infrastructure could go down any time. And when, again, I'm not even talking about this in the context of the shift. When you start looking at things that might happen with the shift as far as Earth changes and paradigm shifts and stuff, that just gives us another reason to believe that our infrastructure could go down any time. But, you know, if the infrastructure goes down, you know, we need to be prepared, you know, to take care of ourselves. And one of the new paradigm messages here, you'll hear me parrot over and over and over again, when we form our new paradigm attitude or our new paradigm way of living, one of the most important components of a new paradigm lifestyle is us reassuming complete responsibility for our own lives. Because this is something that we've all, the most of us, have forgotten to do in the modern world because we live in a system that encourages us to be so hideously, you know, dependent upon the system to provide everything for us. And so we basically forget. You know, we forget how to feed ourselves, and we forget how to prepare our food properly, and we forget how to, you know, how to have natural sources of water, and we basically forget how to take responsibility for, you know, for living our own lives because we expect somebody else, you know, to do it for us. And the system is always more than happy to step into the gap and to provide all those things that we're no longer capable of providing for ourselves. So taking responsibility, and taking responsibility is also a very, very important component of our spirituality that we can get to in a little while, too. So taking responsibility is a very, very important thing. And, you know, having a backup supply of food and water is all part of just, you know, taking that precaution and taking steps, you know, to take care of ourselves, you know, if and when the time comes. And in the context of the shift, I think it's even more important to have a backup supplies of food and water. And, you know, it's also important to think about, you know, the energy and those kinds of things, too. You know, for those of us who live in a cold climate, it's a good idea to, you know, have a wood stove or something like that, you know, to keep us warm. And so that's
right.
That's always a good idea, and I would recommend that everybody do that. I just have probably a little over 3 months' supply of water, and probably got about 25-gallon bottles, and I probably have about a 3-plus-month supply of food. And so that's all the farther ahead I'm thinking here, because I'm thinking if things ever really do go down, and if they go down in a long-term kind of way, I think whatever is going to happen is going to probably happen within that 3-month time frame, as far as people you know, coming together and pooling their resources and you know, getting to the point where we can, you know, indeed take care of ourselves, you know, without all the assistance that we receive from our infrastructure, from our technological infrastructure.
Right. Yeah. Especially right now. I mean, geez, I've been following the activity on the sun. And it's really starting to wake up right now. They just had a flare here last week that I think they said that it affected some stuff in China, if I remember right. Anyways, boy, all it would take was, I mean, and we are really overdue for a major event like the one back in, what was it, 1889 or whatever it was.
When they took down all the telegraph lines.
Fried all the telegraph lines and everything. I mean, something like that happened and cut out our electrical and communications infrastructure. I mean, it'd be, you know, it'd be 3 months before we, you know, majority of things were back online.
Well, you know, I'm going to say something here, and this may be a really crazy thing to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'll bet that our infrastructure is even more vulnerable today than it was then. And the reason for that is how interconnected it all is, you know, with satellites and all this other stuff. And, I mean, there's any number of ways that you know a dent could be made in our satellite system, and so much of what we depend upon infrastructure-wise is it's all interconnected, and it's just this kind of web that envelops the planet. And if one part of it goes out, you know, if some of these big-time computers that really run a lot of stuff, if a few of those go out, you know, the whole system goes down. So it is a very vulnerable system, in spite of what people would like us to think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, one of the things that I really really appreciate about this whole new paradigm thinking is, for example, on the new paradigm page, there's these houses called Earthships, and what they have, it's completely self-sustained, and what they have in the kitchen is an area for you to grow your food. So when they make your house, or if you can make it yourself, it's not that expensive compared to a conventional house. But let's talk the difference between your message, Jack, and fear-mongering. Because I know some people try to put that on you, but from reading your stuff and listening to your stuff, I don't see you in that way.
Well, you know, my message may frighten a lot of people, but it's not because there's any fear-mongering going on. If my message frightens people, it has more to do with them than it does with the message here. And just to say it, to put it in a nutshell, one of the primary reasons why this age we're living in it promotes so much fear in so many people has to do with one very, very simple thing. And that is, and this is kind of what the essence of the shift in a nutshell in terms of what it is and in terms of what this means. The shift basically refers to this time that we're living in, which is a time of monumental transformation. And this is something that happens on the order of once every 26,000 years. So this is very, very big. It does not happen very often. It happens once on the order of every 26,000 years as a function of our solar system's journey, the Earth and the whole rest of our solar system's journey that it takes as it moves through the universe. And we're at that point in the cycle. We're at that point in the cycle where one part of the cycle is coming to its inevitable end, which always, as in all of these cycles, which means this provides the opportunity for the rebirth of a new cycle to take over from that point. So we're back to the good old cycle of birth, life, death, and regeneration that we can see, you know, playing out on so many levels. We can see it playing out in nature every day. We can see it playing out in our physical bodies, and we can see it playing out all over the place. So this is a very big, grand cosmic cycle that we're talking about. And basically the shift refers to at this time, at this point of the cycle, or at this time we're referring to, we are experiencing a shifting of the Earth's vital energy fields. I'm just going to say that again because of how important that is. It is a shifting of the Earth's vital energy fields. And this is the primary cause of all the transformation that we're talking about. Now, the primary reason that people become so afraid of this is because people are afraid of change. And the change that we're dealing with here is very, very monumentally huge change. We are talking about one world coming to its inevitable end. You know, our old paradigm world is part of that. One world coming to its inevitable end, so that a new world, you know, may be born in its place. And so, the primary thing that people fear is they fear change. And when people hear people like me or talk about the shift. A very accurate way of labeling the shift is to say that this is not about doomsday. This is not about the world coming to an end. But this is about the world as we know it coming to an end. And that's what begins to scare people. And it begins to scare people because they're still tremendously invested in that old paradigm world, which cannot possibly sustain itself. So one of the keys to all this, one of the keys to transforming this message from, you know, one that's fear-based to one that's very inspiring and one that's very, you know, one that's very, very positive for people, is to talk about the importance of embracing this transformation as opposed to pushing against it, as opposed to resisting it. Because once we begin to embrace the transformation, once we as human beings begin to resonate with these shifting energies that we're talking about, then at that point, you know, the transformation isn't scary anymore. It's just change. And invariably, the people who are the most afraid of this are people who are still very, very clinging, if you will, to a lot of the energy of the old paradigm world. In other words, they don't want that world to end. They want it to, you know, to be fixed and to go on, and you know, that's the world that they have their emotional investment in. Well, that's what people are afraid of, and so embracing this transformation is crucial to all this. Don't resist it. Don't push against it. If you resist it and push against it, those people who resist it and push against it and who cling to old paradigm energies, those are the people that are having a really, really rough time right now. You know, having a hard time emotionally, a hard time mentally. In many cases, a hard time practically. You know, those are the people that are having a difficult time, and unless they get to a point where they can begin to embrace the transformation and embrace these new paradigm energies, they could be in for a very rough ride here. So that's one way of responding, you know, to the fear aspect of this. It's all about fear of change.
So I want to go back to the 26,000 year thing, real quick. Now I've heard. A couple different people that have talked about this being a much more significant 26,000 year cycle than your quote unquote average, whatever that means, where we have it takes 256,000 years for our solar system to rotate completely around the galaxy, and then there's those that have theorized that there's a 64 million year cycle that our galaxy takes in the universe. So what they're theorizing is that this is a very unique event that, it's like the 26,000 year cycle on a 64 million year scale. So which would, mean that this cycle that we're actually finishing right now and going into the new cycle is an extremely unique event in historically. So I don't.
Okay.
Have you heard of this?
Well, you're actually getting into some stuff that I have to say I'm not all that knowledgeable of, as far as these grander cycles that you're referring to. You know, I'm interested in learning about that stuff, but you're actually, you know, entering an area of this that I'm really not that. I'm not that knowledgeable of, so you know more about that than I do. I do know that this 26,000 year cycle that I've been hearing so much about. I know it's a big deal, you know.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
26,000, whether it's 26,000 or whether it's longer, and there's a lot of different ways of measuring this cycle too, which is an important part of this. And this is where David Wilcock was the one who coined the term convergence, in which you know a lot of different forces and factors seem to be coming together or converging at the same time here, and the time seems to be the time surrounding, you know, winter solstice 2012. There are a lot of different ways to measure it, and a lot of our ways of measuring it can be measured in you know, old paradigm scientific methodology. A lot of the ways that we have of measuring this doesn't come so much from the scientific community, but it comes. There's an awful lot of channel sources on this in terms of. You know, information that's basically coming from outside in, as far as our understanding of you know, the photon belt and the 26,000 year cycle and those sorts of things. Almost the kind of information that you really couldn't understand. You really couldn't understand it properly, or couldn't understand it as well as you could unless you were, say, you know, living on, you know, outside of our, you know, solar system somewhere, outside of our galaxy somewhere, and watching it from the outside in. You could get kind of a different perspective on how these things work. Well, a lot of our sources of information do come from sources like that. You know, they come from channeled sources, and they come from sources in the so-called spirit world. So, you know, we're dealing with a lot of different ways of measuring this, and a lot of different kinds of information about the same thing. And another one, one of the more easy to measure aspects of this has to do with the precession of the equinoxes, which also, from an astrological point of view, just happens to be a 26,000-year cycle that it takes for the precession of the solstices and the equinoxes to run through their entire to run through all the signs of the zodiac and all the constellations. That too is a 26,000-year cycle. So there's a bunch of different ways of measuring this, and they all seem to be telling us in many ways. They all seem to be telling us pretty much the same thing about this time. And can I, as long as we're talking about the time aspect of this and these dates and predictions, I'd like to say one other thing that's important for people to know about the shift. And this really is one of the most important things for people to get lodged into their heads, because this is an area where there really is a lot of disinformation about this. And this has to do with the specific date, December 21st, 2012, and it has to do with a lot of the variations of this date, as far as a lot of the predictions about, you know, things that are going to happen on certain dates and those sorts of things. Well, one of the things that I learned, and the primary source of my information comes from a lot of different sources, but one of the primary sources of my information is the ancient indigenous wisdom. And I'm learning a lot more about that lately, primarily from firsthand sources, actually elders from various cultures, most predominantly the Mayan culture, who are telling me a lot of these things firsthand. But to understand the shift as a point in time or a specific date, you know, where everything's going to happen all at once, kind of like a big bang, you know, December 21st, 2012 is going to roll around and the north and south electromagnetic poles are going to shift, something like that. To think of it in terms of a specific date or point where everything's going to happen all at once is really a pretty huge misunderstanding of what the shift actually means. The shift is more a window of time. It's more of a process. It's more of a gradual process. We could discuss, you know, how big the window is and how long this process takes. There's a lot of different theories on that, and there's also a lot of different theories about whether December 21st, 2012 is perhaps the midpoint of that window or close to the midpoint of that window. There's a lot of discussions and a lot of ideas around this. But what's important to glean from all this is the fact that we really should not be thinking in terms of specific dates and predictions and things like that. This is a process, and it's more of a gradual process taking place over time. And we also know for certain about the shift. We know that we're already in this window. We know that the shift has started. We know that it's happening now. We know this, you know, in a lot of different ways and for a lot of different reasons. We know this. We know it because we can see it happening, for one thing. I mean, the shift is happening. It's occurring, and that's pretty apparent. We can feel it, and we can see it. And once we become aware of the fact that the shift has already started, it's already happening, and I also believe that I'm not sure about December 21st, 2012 actually being the midpoint of this window. I think it's very close to the midpoint of this window. But one of the things that we also learn when we begin to see it in this way, and once we realize that the shift has already started, is that all of a sudden all these dates, all these predictions really lose all of their significance. Because if we know the shift has started, and if we know we're getting close to that midpoint of that window, you know, wherever that is, we know that none of these dates and predictions they lose all of their significance, basically. The only time that matters is now, today, this moment. There's nothing to wait for. There's nothing to wait for a year and a half from now or anything like that. Anybody who is engaged in waiting for something that's going to happen to us in the future is really wasting their time in relationship to, you know, the part that we can play in all this. So that's a very, very important feature of this. It's happening. It's happening now, and there's nothing to wait for. It's time to get to work. It's time to get to work. This moment, today.
Absolutely. Okay, I gotta go off subject for a second, because I'm where I sit here at my computer while we're doing this interview. There's a window right in front of me, and I looked up while you were talking, and there was a cloud that was a spiral. It looked like it was just like a 2.5 turn spiral, and I was like, wow, that is amazing. And then behind that spiral, a freaking UFO just popped up and went across It was a classic silver.
Hey, let me look out my window now.
Bright silver. And it looked like maybe a quarter of the way across my vision here in the window, and then it just disappeared. So I'm just going, wow. I'm just going, wow.
I wish I could see out my window. I'd like to.
Yeah.
I'm just going, wow.
Now, was the spiral that you mentioned, that wasn't on your computer screen? It was
in no, this is a cloud.
No, this is a cloud.
Oh, cloud outside, you mean?
Correct.
You mean outside the window?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Is it one of your friends, Jeff?
It's interesting that you would say that, because I've had several sightings in my life that certainly, you know, if I couldn't say they were UFOs, I know that they certainly were something, you know, paranormal or supernatural. And it's very, very common whenever I have those kinds of sightings to see spiral-like clouds. They look like clouds of vapor, clouds of energy kind of swirling around. It's very, very similar to what the Aurora Borealis looks like when it's really very pronounced and very, very huge. I don't know how many if you guys have ever seen that, you know, where you live, but every once in a while we see it here in Wisconsin. But it's very like that. It's kind of like a swirly cloud of energy.
Yeah.
It's very kind of Aurora Borealis-like. And on the times when I've had sightings, the sky always takes on that kind of an appearance. It has that kind of a wispy cloud-like energy formations. And whenever I'm at Deer Mountain in California, which is, you know, high altitude and way up there, and you see things in the sky there that you just can't see, and, you know, down at lower elevations anymore, the sky there and the Milky Way there has that same swirly cloud-like energy cloud-like appearance. So it sounds like there might have been something similar to what you just saw.
Well, I was just like, my jaw was dropping, and I was going, okay, this is cool. I was going,
right.
Thanks, guys.
I had a similar experience.
Now, Tom, has anything like that ever happened to you before when you've been, you know, like doing your radio show?
Not for the radio show. No. Nobody really knows this, but we had a little bit of a flub here this week trying to get this interview in. And right before that attempted interview, I'll put it that way, I had one of the most amazing visions in the sky. The sun was almost going, it was just above the horizon. And the way the clouds were going by, I had a rainbow cloud. That's the only way to describe it, because it wasn't a rainbow, and it was huge, and it only lasted for about the first minute of our, when we started that interview that we attempted to do. It lasted for about a minute, and I got sort of a download that, yes, this is good information. This is right. You're going the right direction, you know. It was amazing confirmation for me that what Ramon and I are doing, and what you're doing, and what all the guests that we're bringing on our show are doing, is the right thing. We are, you know, doing our part to try to take the world into this new paradigm in a successful and easiest possible way that we can.
Well, that, you know, what that amounts to for you too personally, Tom, is it amounts to a dimensional breakthrough of sorts, because you know, most of the kinds of things you're describing, you know, are happening just about all the time. It's just a question that we just can't see them because we're not in the proper, you know, state of mind or state of consciousness to be able to see them. But then when we are capable of like kind of breaking through dimensionally as far as our consciousness is concerned, it's at that point where we begin to, you know, to see those sorts of things. And so I would guess also that you are probably, plus having two of those sightings in a week's period of time, that would tend to indicate that you're tending to break through some things, you know, yourself personally, as far as your own perception and as far as your own ability to flip dimensions. So,
right. Well, I will definitely confirm that.
Enjoy the journey.
Oh, well, I've been on this journey for 23 years now. So, yes, okay. It is an amazing world that we live in. Absolutely amazing
mm-hmm.
world.
Mm-hmm. So, well, how do we top that, Tom, huh?
What's that?
How do we top that?
I mean, oh, yeah, exactly.
I've got to talk again about the, you know.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty to top that. Yeah, there's plenty out there. Yeah. So, okay, well, let's pop back to the book a little bit. The title of your book, it really will put a question mark in people's minds. What is the challenge?
Oh, all kinds of challenges. We as human beings are going to be confronted with challenges in relationship to the shift. And there's not just one challenge. I could harken back to what I said a few minutes ago in terms of the challenge of the monumental transformations that we will all be, you know, in the midst of. I mean, certainly that is one aspect of it. But if you get more specific about the challenges, you know, we're talking about paradigm shifts, you know, shifting from an old paradigm to a new paradigm. I think one of our most significant challenges, and this is where my message may differ from quite a few of the new agers as far as what I'm about to say, but and again, this is an area where virtually all the indigenous wisdom agrees with what I'm about to say. And when you hear what I'm about to say, you can understand why the indigenous wisdom agrees with it. But I happen to think that, you know, part of this shifting from one world to another world will involve the death or the collapse of our old paradigm world. And that could take many, many different forms in terms of how that's going to happen. But certainly that will be one of the challenges that we'll all be forced to deal with. And let me just say something about that, because that, you know, for a lot of people that may sound like a really kind of a radical statement. But the reason it's not a radical statement is because this old paradigm world is it is a non-sustainable world. It's built upon a foundation that is basically non-sustainable. The foundation of our old paradigm world is a foundation which places its primary emphasis upon matter and materialism, accumulating as much matter as possible. It also is built upon the foundation of control, controlling the forces of nature in the interest of, you know, accumulating our matter. And this is not, and the indigenous people have been telling us this for, you know, thousands and thousands of years. This is not a world that can survive. It's not a world that can sustain itself, because it's basically built upon a foundation that it's out of balance. It's out of whack with divine law, and it's out of whack with natural law. So this is a world that cannot survive. So certainly the death or the collapse of the old paradigm will be one of those, will be a significant challenge for virtually all of us. And I don't know what form that's going to take or what's going to happen, or there are all kinds of different possibilities as far as that's going to happen. And that's just one area of change or one area of challenge. Because you know, we human beings aren't the only things that are going through this process of change.
Right.
Virtually our entire solar system is going through this change. Our sun is going through this change. Our planet Earth is going through this change, and we're all going through this change together. And certainly Mother Earth is experiencing many of the same things that we're all experiencing, the same shifting energy, and we're all experiencing the same fields, if you will, of transformation. And Mother Earth is feeling it too. This is a time of cleansing, and it's a time of purification for Mother Earth. And along with that comes, you know, a wide array of Earth changes. You know, we can already see some of these Earth changes happening in terms of a lot of the extreme weather that we're experiencing, a lot of the earthquake and volcano activity that is just increasing at an amazingly accelerating rate. I understand that there were some big events in New Zealand and the Philippines just a few days ago, as far as a volcano in the Philippines and a rather huge earthquake in New Zealand. So, and this stuff is just the frequency of it is just increasing exponentially as far as the earth change kinds of activities. Global warming is another one. The planet is definitely warming up as a function of these shifting energy fields.
All the planets are warming up.
Yeah, the whole solar system's warming up, plus the sun. So that would be another example of the Earth changes. And you know, of course, we have all the theories about the shifting of the north-south electromagnetic poles. As I understand it, this is something that does happen. And I've read a lot of very compelling theories to indicate that you know, this is something that would happen also on the order, perhaps, of once every 26,000 years. And we can see scientifically that you know, the Earth's electromagnetic fields are diminishing, and they are diminishing quite significantly. They've been doing this for a couple thousand years now,
and the North Pole, I was gonna say, and the North Pole is actually the magnetic North Pole is actually moving pretty fast.
Yeah, a lot faster than it used to.
Yeah, they had to change the runways.
This is something we really don't understand. This could happen in a lot of different ways. You know, maybe it'll shift down a little bit, and then maybe it'll shift back. You know, I think electromagnetism is a force that tends to wiggle around a little bit, and it definitely is a force that we don't understand very well as far as, you know, through our old paradigm scientific eyes. So, you know, there's every indication to believe that, you know, that the Earth is going to be continuing to experience these Earth changes, and certainly that would you know, quite likely could be another one of the phenomena that will be a challenge for us as human beings. As far as my evidence on these kinds of things are concerned, you know, the last time the Earth experienced something comparable to what we're on the verge of experiencing now happened in the neighborhood of 13,000 years ago, which takes our 26,000-year cycle and cuts it in half, so we've got a mini cycle within the bigger cycle here. But there's lots of evidence to indicate that 13,000 years ago, that was the last time the Earth experienced a flooding of massive proportions that was so huge that you know, certain continents went under and other continents rose to replace them. So that was you know, the last time that the Earth really had a major facelift. And we don't know for certain whether or not the facelift we're looking at now is going to be, you know, that big or not that big. There's so many things that we don't. There's so much more about this we don't understand than we do understand. We do know that there are a lot of possibilities, and I also think it's fairly certain that as far as us as human beings, you know, being confronted with challenges in relationship to this, I believe that is also a certainty. But this too is something that it's necessary for us to kind of flip around and reframe and see it in the right way, because challenges for us as human beings are always blessings. And challenges, you know, even in our individual lives, it's always the challenges that we face in life that are, you know, our primary springboards, you know, for us to, you know, to take the next step or to learn whatever it is we need to learn next. And very often it's challenges, you know, that force us to, you know, to do the things we need to do and to learn the things that we need to learn. And that's very much what the nature of these challenges is. One of my favorite mantras in relationship to the shift is that it's necessary for us to learn how to transform these challenges into the blessings that the divine spirit of a living universe created them to be. Because that's basically what they are. So challenges aren't necessarily, you know, bad things. Like change, you know, they can be perceived as bad things, and they can also be perceived as wonderful things. It's just a question of us, again, embracing the transformation and embracing these challenges and learning what it is, what there is to learn from them, you know, as opposed to fighting them or you know, seeing them as bad things. So,
I like the old saying, if life gives you lemons, make lemonade.
I was going to say something. My dad always says, God will choke you. No, God would tighten up the rope, but he won't choke you.
Okay. I think the shift is basically forcing us to do what we need to do anyway, and that's kind of the beauty of it. And one of the things that the shift is forcing us to do as human beings, it's forcing us to, you know, to develop and enhance our spirituality, because, you know, one of the things that we learn is, in order to confront these challenges, as many spiritual people have learned, you know, that our primary tool and our primary, you know, weapon to do something about challenges and to transform them into blessings is the higher power of our higher consciousness and spirituality. So, you know, in order for us to survive these times and in order for us to flourish and create the new world, it's going to be necessary for us to do that, you know, with the power of our spirituality, because that really is, a very, very important lesson that we need to learn here. You know, when I talked about the old paradigm world kind of having everything upside down, that was the primary thing that the old paradigm world had upside down, and that's where the old paradigm world kind of went off course. You know, the old paradigm world is basically a world that places its primary emphasis upon matter and things in the material world to the exclusion of the spiritual world. And right. What we need to do is we need to flip that around and get everything in the right order again as far as priorities are concerned. And one of the lessons that we learn on the spiritual path, and you're not going to hear me say anything more important than what I'm about to say here, and that's this. One of the things that we learn as spiritual people is virtually everything that's manifested in this material world of ours is manifested, or we manifest, or is manifested by virtue of our connection with spirit. In other words, everything springs from spirit. And again, we have a wonderful lesson to be learned here from our indigenous relatives all around the planet, who this is how they lived. You know, they not only lived trusting in spirit, but they also lived trusting their relationship with the forces of nature and with Mother Earth. That's how, you know, their life, you know, manifested so nicely for them, and that's how, you know, Mother Earth took care of them, and that's how spirit took care of them. You know, they had their priorities in order. And this is what the shift is forcing us to re-examine and forcing us to do as human beings once again.
Koyana Squatty. Is that pronounced right? Pronounced right?
What does that mean?
Life out of balance.
Okay.
That's actually, I think it's a Hopi word, if I remember right.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
It's tricky pronouncing those indigenous words.
Oh, I know,
We white folks read them literally the way they're spelled, and it always, you know, sounds completely different.
Yeah.
They're pronounced properly. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever attempted to pronounce any Mayan, but I mean, you'll read the Mayan word, you know, from the letters phonetically. And then when you hear Mayans say you know, the same thing, the way it sounds in Mayan, it's completely different. It's completely different. It's
yeah.
Like the letters. It's like the letters don't even count anymore. I mean, it's just.
I just got back from Honolulu for work. I was over there for a few days, and the Hawaiian language. Oh my word! I mean, trying to pronounce some of those names are just
yeah.
Wow. and then the Hawaiians over there they roll it right off their tongue and just amazing, absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to read one part of the book, a small paragraph. Is chapter 2 in Jack's book. The primary source of our protection in these times of monumental earth changes and paradigm shift, and the primary source of our power to create the new world of light and spirit is our higher consciousness and spirituality.
Hear, hear.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's the primary source of our protection, and it's the primary source of our power.
And it
always comes back to that.
So, Jack, what can we do to increase our perception of the other realities and our spirituality?
Well, let me answer that in a way that is probably more simple than you might expect. Because, again, when we talk about enhancing our spirituality, when we talk about developing our spirituality, when we talk about, you know, the process of ascension, which you're hearing about so much in today's world in relationship to the shift, these are things, again, that can be made so unnecessarily complicated by so many of the so-called experts in terms of, you know, how we actually do this. You know, you can hear me talking about enhancing our spirituality or raising the frequency of our vibration or, you know, resonating with the energy fields or any of that kind of stuff. And, you know, it may sound like, you know, fancy words and all that, but, you know, there may be a lot of people who are still going, well, okay, you know, it sounds nice, but, you know, how do you do that? What are the actual nuts and bolts of this in terms of, you know, how do you actually make that happen? And here's where our spirituality and we're developing our spirituality really can be traced back to some very kind of simple and very kind of self-evident things. And it has to do basically with how we live our lives. And it has to do with how we live our lives, you know, here in this earth plane. And these are things that virtually what I'm about to say as far as developing our spirituality is concerned, these are things that virtually every spiritual tradition on this planet has agreed about for thousands and thousands of thousands of years, at least everyone that's worth its salt. And they all tell us the same thing. And again, this is something that our indigenous relatives also tell us the same thing. Excuse me. They tell us that we as human beings are at our spiritual peak and if we are endeavoring to enhance our spirituality or to evolve our spirituality, it's necessary to do that by virtue of living life with certain feelings. Living life with certain feelings. And I'm going to tell you specifically what the feelings are. And anybody who embarks upon any kind of spiritual learning or teaching or anything like that, the objective of the spiritual learning and teaching should always be to learn how to live life with these feelings. And this gets very basic here, because these are very basic human feelings that are very connected to source, if you will. And I'm going to say this real slowly in terms of what the feelings are. And if you guys read the book, you know what I'm about to say, because you probably heard me. I probably wrote it in there about 100 times. We are at our spiritual peak when we experience life with feelings of peacefulness, joy, reverence, gratitude, and trust. Feelings of peacefulness, joy, reverence, gratitude, and trust. Now, this begins with feelings of peacefulness, and very often people misinterpret. They think I'm talking about peace or something, as far as not engaging in war. Now, that's not what this means. Feelings of peacefulness basically means feelings of relaxation, being relaxed in our physical bodies and being relaxed in this world. There are a few things in life that are more important than the simple powers of relaxation. And when we as human beings learn to truly relax, by virtue of breathing and meditating and just relaxing, the totality of our physical bodies, we really change and we become a whole heck of a lot more powerful, as a function of being relaxed people. And again, virtually every spiritual teaching and training on earth always begins with breathing, meditating, and learning how to relax. Excuse me. It's exceedingly important, and the powers of relaxation affect virtually every aspect of our physiology, from the tiniest molecules of our DNA on up to the biggest organs. All of our physiology is profoundly affected by our ability to relax. Feelings of joy, very similarly. There's a biochemical component to joy, and when we're feeling feelings of joy, our bodies are basically as finely tuned or as highly tuned energetically as they can possibly be, as a function of the pure experience of feeling joy. And very often, the feeling of being relaxed will lead to the feeling of joy. Peacefulness, joy, reverence. And by reverence here, we start to get into some of our spiritual concepts. And by reverence here, we basically mean reverence for life. Reverence, of course, for ourselves, but reverence for life, reverence for this wonderful planet that we're all a part of, and all the various features of it. Reverence for our connection to the spirit world, and those sorts of things. Gratitude for all those same things. Gratitude is something that we say by virtue of, saying words of thanks and things like that. But gratitude also becomes a lifestyle. It becomes a way that we feel about life. It isn't just words that we say. It's a feeling that we have about life. We feel grateful because we just feel so fortunate to be a part of this miracle, that we're all a part of as human beings. And the final one is trust, and trust is probably the most important one. And by trust here, I basically mean trust in spirit. And what this means is that we trust that if we are appropriately connected with spirit, and connected with spirit with the vibration of these feelings that I'm talking about, if we are connected with spirit, and if we trust that connection with spirit, we basically trust that spirit will manifest everything we need in this world, and that spirit will basically take care of us. And when we trust in this way, we talked earlier about fear. When we trust in this way, when we trust in spirit, and when we place our connection with spirit first in life, all of our fears just evaporate like water. They just go away, because when we are truly connected, when our spirituality is as finely tuned as what I'm describing here, when we trust in this way, there is literally never anything to fear, ever.
Absolutely.
And experiencing life with these feelings, it's all so basic, but this basically, as spiritual people, this is basically our task. Our task is to work and to discipline ourselves to be able to experience life with feelings of peacefulness, joy, reverence, gratitude, and trust. That is our task as spiritual people. And if we engage in that task, and if we succeed at feeling life with these feelings, each and every moment of life with these feelings, it's at this point where, you know, we begin to raise the frequency of our vibration. You know, we begin to attain a lot of the supernatural kinds of things that we talk about when we talk about spirituality. And, you know, we not only connect with the forces of the spirit world, but we also connect with, you know, the forces of the natural world, the forces of our one true mother, Mother Earth, in terms of living in harmony with her. So this really is our task. This is the thing we should be focusing on. And the other thing people need to hear about this, and this is a very important part of this message, or my message, or the message that I'm guided to transmit, and that is that developing this spirituality, it does take work. This is another area where a lot of our New Age, kind of our Pollyanna New Age people, really kind of lead us astray as far as understanding this aspect of it. They kind of lead us to believe that all these things just happen, and you know, you can go to a weekend workshop, and you can, you know, develop all these things, and then everything's just for the rest of your life. You're just going to be, you know, enlightened or whatever. It really, really doesn't work that way. Developing our spirituality, enhancing our spirituality, takes continuous work. And again, we have I might say that this work we're talking about, the work of practicing and developing our spirituality, once we get into the swing of it, it ceases to be work. It becomes very, very pleasurable.
You know, absolutely.
When I'm doing my spiritual ceremonies that I do here, right now I'm surrounded by candles here. The room is primarily dark. I'm sitting in one of my spots where I pray and do those sorts of things. Once we get in the swing of working at our spirituality, it becomes very, very pleasurable. I can think of nothing I would rather be doing in life than engaging in spiritual ceremony and praying and singing and smoking my pipe and those sorts of things. It becomes extremely pleasurable. But one of our most important lessons from our indigenous relatives. Our indigenous relatives were very, very highly evolved spiritually, but they also worked very, very, very hard at it. They were engaged in lots of ceremony every day, and their ceremonies would go for, you know, a day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, nothing but ceremony, weeks, no sleep, you know, around the fire, you know, singing, praying, chanting, you know, ongoing ceremonies, so the ceremony to the point of exhaustion. In other words, they worked very, very hard at these things. It just didn't come and, you know, once you get it, then you don't have to work at it anymore. No, no, that's not the way it works. It is necessary for us to work at these things, and but what better thing do we have to do with our time?
So, okay, well, we're about wrapped up for the first hour here. We will be continuing on in the archive section on our website at conscious-tv.com. Jack, you want to put out your website and your books and DVDs and where people can pick them up?
Well, absolutely. It all happens at the website. The website is, my name is Jack, last name Alice, A-L-L-I-S, and the website is www.jackalice.com. That's jackalice.com, and let me put out a free offer to your audience here. I'm going to give my email address here, and whoever sends me an email, and whoever's email is first, I'll send them a free copy of the book. Don't forget to leave your regular mailing address. My email address is jack@jackalice.com. Send me an email. If you're the first one, I'll send you a free book, and whoever else doesn't come in first place, I'll send them a free copy of my newsletter. And that way we can stay connected, which is staying connected is another very important part of this process called the shift. You know, if we're not connected, then we're not going to be able to make it happen.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we're going to continue this on in the archives. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. And remember, condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance.